Thank you, worship leader. How do we know? How could we verify or validate that we're keepers of the light? When each soul was sent into this world, there's already existing in that soul that eternal light, love, and God's presence. Otherwise, there will be no reason for us to be here. Or without that, we won't be able to sustain all, to withstand all the things that are here, that are so distracting, and because we don't know, then destructive. So the only way we knew, especially for those who have consciously chosen to invite God into their lives, it doesn't matter whatever path you chose or what path you don't. So the only way we know we're the keepers of the light is what the great influencer is, great teacher and a great master, Jesus Christ. And you got to give it to Jesus. He's a very practical teacher. And this is what he said. In the New Testament of the Christian Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. He first of all started it because he knew if he tells people you are the light, they won't comprehend it. Like, what do you mean I'm the light? So he started with something people can relate to, can understand. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Because you can see the salt. You know, people use salt to preserve things in those days, to spice things up and all of that. So he started with that. You are the salt of the earth. And then later he said, and the light of the world. From the mundane, the practical side, to the transcendental side, so that then people can relate. You don't have to be a Christian only to see what that great influencer was telling us. If you have committed yourself to knowing God, to loving God, because in the process you will know yourself, you can count on that. He's saying we should have a positive, transformative influence on the world around us. He just doesn't want us just saying it. You got to live it. Because that's what salt does. Salt, yeah, you know, it will preserve, it will spice. You won't know that until you put it in your food. Then you say, aha. And then somebody say, oh, this is not tasty. Put a little salt in that food. Because during Jesus' time, and which is still now, I mean, we have other things, salt was a valuable preservative, you know. And in those days, before they have electricity and all of that, you will see how dark it is until you light a candle or a lamp. They didn't even have candle. Candle just started in the 60s, you know. It was a lamp, you know. Maybe some of you here, you never even know what that is like. And we're not even talking about the lantern that you take to when you go camping. These lamps are made out of clay, and they put palm oil or some oil, you know, and they put a little cotton, you know, and then they light it, and then they take it around. Because light is essential for visibility and guidance, especially in darkness. Because Jesus just didn't say you are the salt of the world. He said, what good is the salt when it loses its saltiness? So what good is it if you say you're on the spiritual path? And you lose that shining part that allows people, when they see you, you lose your luster. What good is it? In other words, you become ineffective. Oh, they say, it's all words and no action. There's just so much you can deceive people before they catch on here. So to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world means you must have a positive impact and influence on the world around you, especially through living it out, the values that Jesus talks about. Because Jesus did it. He just didn't say it. He lived it. I mean, if any of us have the power that Jesus had, you think anybody would be able to talk down to us or say we're crooks? Oh, we would have done something. They probably just disappear from the earth. But he didn't. Even when he was abused, even when they call him crooked, he's using the power of Satan. You know? I mean, we don't even have that kind of power. Look at how we're treating each other. Can you imagine if Jesus was the president of Russia or China or even the United States? Some of the things that divided humanity, it wouldn't be there. There would be no need for nuclear weapons. Nobody would be an illegal. And you can count on it. Jesus wouldn't oppress his people. You know, they can't say anything. He's not going to go and invade Ukraine, will he? And you can count on it. There will be no war or battle between the Palestinians and the Israelites. Everybody will live in peace and happiness. Because it carries that love of God and that light in you. So being salt of the world means Christians are called to be a preserving influence against today's decay and corruption in society. And we know in the old days, salt was a valuable commodity. They actually even would use it to exchange as dollars, you know, as currency, as crypto. Crypto coin. And for those of you who didn't know what happened, like during the time of Elisha, I think, if I'm quoting it right, Prophet Elisha, when they said their drinking water is poisoned, they couldn't. Because that light is in him, the power of God said, okay, take this salt, go put it in the water, and it wipe out all the poison. But he didn't say it ordinarily. It came from that transcendental, because the Spirit of God said, go do this. Normally, if you put too much salt in the water, it will be salty, you won't be able to drink it. So. As the light of the world, the keepers of that light, you and I who have committed ourselves, who are following that spiritual path, we are meant to shine that God's truth, love, and hope into this world that can be filled with darkness, selfishness, and despair. Supposed to lift people out of, you know, that loneliness, that despair. And Jesus continued, you need to go read that verse. The light is not to be hidden, but to be openly displayed through good deeds and a life that glorifies God. Not necessarily through preaching. Because preaching, well, word is cheap, isn't it? It's your action. Be a peacemaker. Show humility, even if you are the one everybody looks up to. And we know some of us on the spiritual path, oh, we are not humble at all, you know. We're in charge here. We carry Bible on one hand and we come out of, say, oh, we've just meditated. And the moment we move out and we start raging against somebody else, why did you park on my spot? And then Jesus validated that as a keeper of light, we are like a city on the hill where you can't miss it because it's the only city on the hill. If you are traveling, you look, oh, imagine if you are in a forest, trees and all of that, and let's say you are lost, and then all of a sudden you see a little hill and you see, you know, a house there. Oh, they like, oh, okay, maybe I can go to that place. And maybe they already have their light on, you know, yeah. We are that keeper of that light. And we're supposed to light up wherever we go, through the way we think, the way what we say, the way we act, that it makes us attractive to people, not in the physical sense, that they say, oh, because you never know who's watching you. Who might be the example that they need for that day? Say, oh, if that person can do that, I can do that too. That's why Jesus said, if they slap you on one side, turn the other side. But if they slap you on one side and then you return it both sides, people say, and then you say, oh, I'm a Christian. He said, seriously? That person actually didn't slap you. Maybe something they faltered and then it looks like they slapped you and then you just beat them to crap. Like, what kind of a Christian are you? And then that brings us to what are songs today? If you falter, if you don't live life like a keeper of that light, then you need to bring the antidote. Whatever it is that has kept you away from living that eternal light that God puts in you, you need to change and get back to the original way. If you want to dominate people, you want to, you know, be greedy and all of that. And greed is one of the, you know, and greediness, I mean, is in pretty much everything, but people don't see it. Because even when we overeat, that's being greedy. But we won't see that. We just, I was just enjoying the food. When you make demands on people, without thinking, do they really want to participate there? That's greediness. Take what is enough for you, leave the rest for others. But if for whatever reason, you stop being the keeper of the light by the way you live your life, here's the antidote, which is the song we did today, which Yogananda sang. But Yogananda wasn't the original writer of that lyrics. I will read the lyrics and then I will tell you who wrote it. In my house with thy own hands, light the lamp of thy love. Because that's how we were created. Thy transmuting lamp entrancing. Wondrous are its rays. Change my darkness to thy light, Lord. Change my darkness to thy light. And my evil into good. Touch me but once, and I will change. All my clay into the gold, to God's gold. All the sense lamps that I did light, suited into worries, now they've turned into ill. Sitting at the door of my soul, light that resurrecting lamp. That's the antidote. When so many things, various desires have made you be insensitive to your fellow human beings, you want to control them, you want to be the richest person, the most powerful person, you can't even tolerate that they need to be different from you. That's how God created them. I mean, how can you go against who you are? You want everybody to be just like you. How is that going to happen? That's why we go through all of this. And who wrote that? His name is Rabindranath Tagore. He's an Indian poet, well known. That was his prayer. Because, you know, he needs to live by example to be the keeper of the light. So it is a simple prayer that he prays to God to light the lamp of his love in the heart, in his heart, to remove the darkness of ignorance that makes him behave the way he, you know. And he's not a bad guy, but, you know, we all know our own weaknesses. Don't let it dominate you, or don't let it oppress you and keep you from living your life fully. Ask God to change you. Because whoever created you knows how to, you know, transform you. To remove the darkness of ignorance. The wonderful rays of the lamp will transform evil into good. Clay into gold. Because if there's a clay here and there's a gold, which one will you take? You got clay, you can throw it in the water, it will dissolve. But you throw gold, you can still get it back. It's stronger. And when that transformation happens, and it will free him from all the worries of life that have been plaguing him. That's what the song is about. Suited into all the desires. And greediness can make us have so many desires, isn't it? And thank God, another master, Yogananda, made it into a song. Because sometimes it's easier to remember songs than the lyrics. Just keep singing it in the air. In my house, without, you know. Now I'm going to end this with a story to tell us we need to be very aware and careful that we maintain being keeper of the light. Because we can easily lose it. Once upon a time, I remember as a kid, they say when men were men, when we were walking on our heads. I don't know who came up with that. It's so funny, like, really? Okay. There was a wealthy merchant who was very proud of his riches. When we begin to live in that pride, you no longer acting as keeper of the light. He visited the temple every day, you see. Oh, I'm on the spiritual path. I'm meditating and all of that. But pride leads to destruction, isn't it? He visited the temple every day, but looked down upon the poor and beggars, never helping anyone. I see the keeper of the light. He never helped anyone, thinking that wealth alone made him superior. Despite all his possessions, the merchant's mind was restless and never at peace. Because once you stop being keeper of the light, that's what happens. And you need that, the song we did today. You need to have you restructured so that you can be again. So one day, just like any of us, we never know who we meet on a daily basis, because all of us here, before we even knew each of us existed, we didn't know, but the day we're supposed to meet, voila. And if you acted the wrong way towards them, it's like, I don't want to hang out with this one. He might be here on a retreat, but he doesn't act like he's doing. So one day he met a sage on the way. The sage smiled and asked, "Son, why do you look so troubled? You know, someone like Master Jesus will be able to tell what is going on. Like, you're not reflecting the light." Merchant replied, "I am rich, but my mind is never at peace." Sage said to him, "Come to the nearby forest tomorrow. Tomorrow morning before sunrise, before everybody sees you, because then you will start saying, 'Don't you know who I am? No, come before sunrise. I will show you true wealth.'" And probably he had to carry a lamp, because if it's before sunrise, you know, okay. Next morning, merchant went to the forest before the time. The sage took him to a cave and said, "Inside this cave, you will see many precious gems. The very first gem you notice is your true wealth. But remember, you can only pick one." I'm sure the merchant is delighted, because if you are greedy, if you are so full of yourself, the more the better. Huh? If I have it, others don't have it, then they have to kiss me. The merchant went in. The cave was filled with gold, silver, and sparkling jewels. Remember, he was proud, he's rich. His greed began to grow. He thought, "Let me look a little more," and kept searching. Maybe there'll be other things I can, you know. And before he knows it, the time has passed. As the sun rose, the cave door shut. Boom. Mm-hmm. Because that's what happens when we stop being keeper of the light. He screamed and cried out, but could not get out. Finally, the sage voice echoed, "You fail to recognize true wealth. You fail to be the keeper of the light. In your greed, you want to dominate. You think you are still keeper of the light, but we all know you are not, because the door wouldn't have shut down. You wouldn't have treated the poor and all of that. You fail to recognize true wealth. Time and contentment. Because then, if you are not content, because you can't be keeper of the, when you are content, you treat everybody, the same way you want to be treated. You show them the same love. Light that lamp of thy love. And in the process, we lose everything. We want to be keeper of the light. We need to act like that. Not fake it. Because if you fake it, after some time, people will catch on. You and I are the keeper of the light. Especially when we've committed ourselves on the spiritual path. And Jesus said it, you are the light of the world, the salt of the world. So let us not forget that. Let us not be like, I'm rich, you are not, psych. Because all of us know if we're treated with kindness, don't we respond with kindness? And that's why the great influencer, Jesus Christ, he lived it. He didn't have to heal any of those people. But because he's the forerunner of the keeper of the lights. And they said, won't you heal me? He said, well, by your faith. Remember the story of the Samaritan, the woman? He didn't say because she's not Jewish. He couldn't care. He lived by example. And he's still the keeper of the light with us till today. And all the great masters and saints, they are keeper of the light. And gender has nothing to do with it. Your ethnicity has nothing to do with it. Your level in life, whether you are rich or poor, has nothing to do with it. So may we follow those who have gone before us, who have ascertained and, told us we are also keeper of the light. May we be like them. And may the Lord continue to light the lamp of God's love in our hearts, so that resurrecting lamp will empower us to continue to be the keeper of